Okay, turn in your Bibles to Luke 24, 49. And we're going to get some scriptures. Kenny is going to read Luke 24, 49. Tony, John 14, 16. Robert Chavez, Luke 24, 49, the second time. Casey, Ephesians 5, 18. Daniel Swope, Acts 2, 2 through 4. And a couple more here. Brian, read Isaiah 41:17, and Daniel McCarty, Jeremiah 29:13. Okay, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon, he once said these words: "If there was only one prayer that I could pray before I died, it would be this: Lord, send your church men and women filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And I am I'm reading a ton of books. My reading was suffering while building. Back to reading numbers of books on the Jesus movement, and then some biographies. And what is one of the things that is stirring me in reading this is that people had very powerful encounters with the Holy Spirit when they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so this is this really, really stirring in my spirit about a need that we have. So I'm going to preach about Holy Spirit power. Luke 24, 49, first time, Kenny.
"Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high."
Okay, and this is Jesus preparing his men for life and ministry. And he is saying there's a promise that you have to have, and that is the Holy Spirit with power. Let's talk about the need for power for a moment. So Jesus is looking ahead at what his disciples are going to need in life, and especially what they're going to need in ministry. So Jesus understands that people have human weakness and human limitations. We have character deficiencies. I don't know if that applies to any of you, but we have things in us that really we really need to change. And he was dealing with men who he knew needed to change. There is, in one sense, a lack of ability. For some, that's a lack of confidence, that they don't have personal confidence to, whether that's as simple as witnessing or whether that is all the way to believing that they can fulfill the call of God. Talent is, God calls people that don't have lots of talents sometimes, and for some people it's speaking, and they lack ability, and they're not good at speaking to people personally, not good at speaking to people in crowds and whatever. So then Jesus knew that his men would be facing supernatural opposition. So there are demonic spirits that resist conversion. Every convert, there's a fight, there's a battle that really goes on. I had something wonderful happen last Sunday. During church, I got word that one of our converts, Lisa and I pastored almost 30 years ago. He's been backslidden for 20 something years, that he came in and got saved. Wonderful. And so he's divorced, remarried. His wife wound up praying over the phone with somebody, and then they're going to come to church, and the daughter runs away, and you know, there's a battle. She doesn't run away on a Tuesday, she runs away Wednesday night just before church. That's from hell, and trying to stop people from getting saved. So Jesus knows that is it's a fight to get converts, and then he understands there's demonic assaults that come against God's workers, when you decide to do right and you decide to go for God, don't be surprised. The enemy assaults that. So, in God's love, he allows us to become frustrated at our own lack of power. He wants us to get sick and tired of what we lack. I can't do it on our own. And that is exactly what God wants. He had his disciples. There's numerous times that this lesson was reinforced. We fished all night and we caught nothing. It's not working. They're rowing the ship, and the Bible says, but they're not getting any closer to land. The demon-possessed boy, why couldn't we cast it out? These are experiences. God does not, some people think that in love, God should shield you from every difficulty, that he should just guide you always through success, but that's not true. In fact, it is good that God lets us get frustrated, because the answer is Holy Spirit power. And that is what he's wanting us to come to. When you get sick of what you can't do, when you get sick of what you don't have, here's the answer. It's Holy Spirit power. The Holy Spirit is God manifested, or literally made real. God that you can see at work in human lives. God is in action. And, you know, if you think about this in the Trinity, the Father plans, the Son purchases, and the Holy Spirit brings God to us, brings that power inside of us, or through us, or for us, but it is God at work. That's the Holy Spirit. Our scripture says, number one, this is a promise. God does not want to leave us powerless. John 14, 16.
And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you.
Okay, so here now this is winding up in the final week of ministry. And Jesus says here, talking about what they need. And he says, I'm going to pray that he will give you another comforter. Comforter is an advocate or helper. But the word that he says here, he's now telling him, I'm not going to be here. Think about this. You need, do you lack finances? Jesus is there. You need healing? Jesus is there. You're in danger? Jesus is there. Then he says, guys, I'm not going to be here. So that's freaking them out. But he says, I'm sending you another. There's two words he could have used. He could have used, you know, the water bottle is one thing. My phone is another. That's the word hetero. They're not the same. It's another thing. It's different. That's not the word he uses. The word he uses, allos, it is exactly the same. I'm gone, but I'm going to give you the comforter is exactly like having me, like having Jesus with you, Jesus at work in your life. He says, that's a promise. I'm not going to leave you without power. Secondly, it's a command. So here he's giving them strict orders. If you're going to live for God, if you're going to work or do anything for God, he says you must be filled with the Spirit. Luke 24, 49, second time.
Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.
Okay, so here's the promise. I send the promise. God's not going to leave you without power. But wait, that's what the word tarry is. Wait until you get the power. Don't try to live life without Holy Spirit power. Do not try to minister for God without Holy Spirit power. Ephesians 5, 18.
Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. There are things there. Don't get drunk. That's a command. But be filled with the Spirit. That is a command. It's not optional. God says you have to have this. And we understand then in the be filled is in a continual. That's not a one-time, yes, I did that once and I speak in tongues. This is you need this again. Be being filled. Get filled again. When you recognize a lack of power, get filled again. And you, I challenge you in the book of Acts, you see that. Acts 2, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4, they're filled again. And that's a Bible pattern. So let's talk secondly about the power of the Spirit. I'm not trying to give an entire doctrinal treatise on the Holy Spirit. This is what I want you to focus on, the power. It is obvious that being filled with the Holy Spirit is a powerful thing. Okay? It is not just a doctrine or a technical thing. Did you speak in tongues? Do you not? It's a powerful thing. The day of Pentecost, the Bible says some things. So, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says, first of all, the place was shaken. Things began to shake. That's a powerful thing. Then it says that the wind blew, and then tongues of fire sat on each of them. Three different elements of symbolism. The wind blows, the place shakes, the fire sits on them. And then what happens in a practical sense, they are transformed, right? These are the guys who just a few days before are hiding behind locked doors for fear. What's the immediate result of when they get filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to speak in tongues? Peter, coward Peter, running away Peter, boldly stands up in front of thousands of people and preaches. Something happened. That shaking, the wind blowing, the fire sitting on him, he was not the same man. That's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. Secondly, he becomes effective. You can read his sermon in Acts chapter 2. It doesn't strike me as being incredibly powerful if you were to read that or someone was to tell you that. And yet the Bible says the impact when he speaks is that thousands of people, they're cut to the heart. God applies the word of God. This is me. And they begin to call out, what do we have to do to get saved? Acts 2:2-4.
Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues.
Okay, and so this is the Bible record. So, history records the power of those who were truly filled with the Spirit. The book of Acts, and I'm challenging you to begin to go through the book of Acts, just looking at all of the mentions of the Holy Spirit and look at what the Holy Spirit does in that. It's the record of the Holy Spirit at work in and through and for human lives. So that's the book of Acts. So think about this. Pastor Mitchell, the founder of our fellowship, is that he had no church background at all. Said he had maybe gone to church twice his whole life. 24 years old. He gets saved. He said he had been saved for a matter of weeks, maybe a month or something. And he said he has no memory of what was being preached, a normal Sunday morning service. Responded to the preaching, and down at the altar he's praying, and he said he felt someone come up behind him and put their hand on his shoulder. And he said when he did that, he heard wind. He thought somebody left the door open. He said he could hear, had his eyes closed, but he could hear this wind. And all of a sudden he began to powerfully speak in tongues loudly, began to prophesy, and this went on and on and on. They actually closed the service. Everybody left. They told my mom, whenever he finishes, you lock the door. And did that, and he estimates maybe half an hour or something like that. So here's my point. Someone who God has used greatly, it's not an accident that he had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit. That is the point that I'm making, and I'm in my reading, I'm going to read some personal testimonies of great men of God. Smith Wigglesworth, an incredible healing ministry. John G. Lake, incredible healing ministry, missionary to Africa, to South Africa. Reinhard Bonnke, I'm listening on audiobook to his biography, and just happened to be that day before yesterday, he was talking about how he got filled with the Holy Spirit. So you're talking about, these are men not an accident. They have incredibly supernatural ministries. But then look at what happened when they got filled with the Holy Spirit. What they talk about is not simply that technically they spoke in tongues. Good, you got it. They talk about something powerful happened. And now there is a powerful and effective ministry. I was talking to Glenn Cluck last night, and I asked him, you know, Glenn Cluck has a supernatural ministry, supernatural touch from God. And so I asked him to tell me about when he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said he was saved in a Methodist church, I think. And he said he had heard about his mama got filled with the Holy Ghost, went to the local church that was Pentecostal. And he said that when he walked in, the preacher saw him and actually climbed over some chairs to lay hands on him. And he said that he began to powerfully speak in tongues. And I asked him, I said, and then what was the effect? He said, my whole family, it was like a curse of shyness, is they all were incredibly timid. They were incredibly shy. He said, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I suddenly became bold in witnessing, speaking, and in preaching. So my concern is this, is that we have allowed the baptism and the Holy Spirit to be diminished. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We understand there are churches that they are embarrassed of speaking in tongues, so they shy away from that. I fight that. You hear me in conference. I challenge that kind of mentality. That's great. And yet, my fear is that sometimes we're happy just that folks said a few robo-bobos. That you got it. That's great. But my question is there transforming power? So that doesn't mean that the person didn't get filled with the Holy Ghost. That doesn't mean that there is not God at work in their life. I'm just challenging you whether or not your experience, our experience, does it line up with what God's actual intention is, which is powerful baptisms in the Holy Spirit. So, therefore then, the simple point of this lesson is to challenge you to seek the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, what I told you before, is that if you speak in tongues, that's great, but you can have had an encounter, you can have the ability to speak in tongues, and yet perhaps the power is not active in the level it should be. So that's my point is stirring you. So number one, we have to develop faith in the Holy Spirit. This is a personal challenge that I'm giving you, is to search the scriptures. Go through the book of Acts. Compare. What does God say about the Holy Spirit? And as you're reading, simply ask, is that what I have? Is that what I'm experiencing in my life? And then in doing that, it's the same as when I wanted to when I wanted to see people healed, I began to go through and study God's word. What does God say about healing? Until faith was born in my heart. It's, absolutely, this is what needs to happen. So this is not, you know, homework. You don't want to do it, don't do it. But I'm talking to men asking, are you sick of what you currently have? Are you sick of what you don't have? And so therefore, go to God's word. And secondly, I'm going to give you today numbers of books. This is on you. If you want the Holy Spirit, there are numbers of books that your faith will be stirred if you read that. When I began to want healing, I began to read books on healing, and it stirred my faith. That is what I want in my life. Second thing is we have to seek the Holy Spirit. Luke 24:49, tarry. Wait. So it is more than just time. It's really making the Holy Spirit a priority. So if you think about this, the church was birthed in the book of Acts with a 10-day prayer meeting that they simply waited on and were seeking the power of the Holy Spirit. 10 days. This wasn't a light. How many want the Holy Spirit say this? They themselves said, we cannot go on without this. We have to have this. They began to cry out. Look at two scriptures. Jeremiah 29:13.
And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Okay, when you search for me with all of your heart, this is more than just a casual dimension. So we understand in old times when this was in the early, around the turn of the century, 1906 was when Azusa Street in Topeka, Kansas, the Holy Spirit began to be poured out. And very much these people, they were, they took this scripture literally. They had tarrying meetings, and I'm sure part of it is a faith element of whether you believe God's word. I'm sure there were people that maybe were taking this incorrectly, as though if I pray a long time, God has to kind of earning it. I get that. And yet, the turn of the century, powerful baptisms in the Holy Spirit were people who made getting life-transforming power an absolute priority. I read these biographies and testimonies how people went to meeting after meeting for the whole purpose of, I've got to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I've got to have that kind of power. Isaiah 41:17.
The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water.
So here he's saying, people that are thirsty, God will give. So my point is, are you thirsty? Meaning, are you dry? Are you tired of what you don't have and what you can't do? Then I'm challenging you with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read just a number of testimonies that I have in some of my books on the Holy Spirit. Here's John G. Lake. John G. Lake, he says that he went with, he had been seeking the Holy Spirit. He went with one of his friends. They went to pray for a lady who was sick. And while his friend was talking to her, he said he went and sat in a chair. My soul was drawn out in a great silent cry to God. Oh, Jesus, I long for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm so hungry, so tired of trying, so weary of doing things myself. Suddenly, a great quiet came upon me, deepening into a peace I had never experienced. Presently, it seemed as if I had passed under a warm tropical rain that was falling not on me, but through me. My friend asked me to help him pray for a lady with rheumatoid arthritis. As I touched her head, I could feel currents of power shooting through me into her. I began to speak in another language. And then he says, going ahead years later, on another instance, as I knelt in prayer and reconsecration to God, an anointing of the Spirit came upon me. Waves of holy glory passed through my being, and I was lifted into a new consciousness of God's presence and power. Here's D.L. Moody. I was crying all the time that God would fill me with His Spirit. One day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed Himself to me, and I had such an experience of His love that I had to ask Him to stay His hand. I went to preaching again. The sermons were no different. I didn't present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you gave me all the world, it would be as the small dust of balance. So John G. Lake is talking about miracles that occur. D.L. Moody, effectiveness as he is preaching. Smith Wigglesworth, he said the pastor's wife laid hands on him. They would have these seeking meetings, and then he went back in an office, and the pastor's wife, he asked the pastor's wife, pray for me. She laid hands on me. He felt the fire power of the Holy Spirit lay hold of him. He said, I was bathed in the power of God. I was conscious of the cleansing, precious blood. He was filled with an increased consciousness of cleansing. Then he began to speak in languages unknown to him. Immediately after being filled, he returned to the meeting and interrupted the speaker, asking if he could say a few words. And the meeting was people who were gathered to get filled with the Holy Spirit. His wife, who was watching, was amazed, as her husband, who previously could not hold the attention of anyone for even the briefest periods, now had people give him rapt attention as he spoke with great conviction. The congregation was so stirred that within a short time, 50 of those present were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. So now it's a transfer. He's able to minister that. Charles Finney, great revivalist, 1800s. I returned to the front office, found that the fire that I had made of large wood was nearly burned out. But as I turned and was about to take a seat by the fire, I received a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Without any expectation of it, without ever having the thought in my mind that there was any such thing for me, without any recollection that I'd ever heard the thing mentioned by any person in the world, the Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love, for I could not express it in any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God, and then out of this is an incredibly fruitful ministry. Joel Comiskey is a man who got saved in the Jesus ministry in the 1973. He was first filled with the Holy Spirit in early 74. 1973, I had received Jesus for salvation, yet I lacked power in my life. I was afraid to proclaim to others my newfound faith in Christ. I was in my last year of high school and desperate to become bold about my faith. My lack of spiritual power led me to attend a miracle service at Shekinah Fellowship. They prayed for me to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I didn't speak in tongues that night, but I did later on. But the change in me was evident the very next day. All I could do was talk about Jesus. I witnessed about Jesus to everyone I saw that day. My life was totally transformed from that night onward. I began to carry my Bible with me everywhere, setting it down on the right corner of each classroom desk at high school. I wanted people to know that I was a believer, and I had the confidence to prove it. The Shekinah Fellowship experience, however, was not enough. I needed repeated fillings of the Spirit's grace and power. So here is boldness for witnessing. That was the transformation. Finally, Reinhard Bonnke. As he's 11 years old, he finally persuaded. His mother was very hard woman in many different ways. Didn't think that he could had the right to get filled with the Holy Spirit at such a young age. But he finally begged and begged. His father took him to one of these meetings. As Arthur Kukula spoke, my faith leapt up and shouted yes within me. The words of Scripture seemed to come alive in my chest. When Arthur invited those seeking the Holy Spirit to kneel and pray, I did so immediately. No sooner had I reached my knees than I was overwhelmed with an incredible sensation. No one needed to lay hands on me to pray. I received the gift of speaking in tongues spontaneously and burst out in a heavenly language. It seemed to come from beyond me and from within me at the same time. My mind began to receive a stream of pure light and love from the very throne of God. It flowed over me and went straight through me at once. This was far more than a mere bolt of electricity. It was as if every cell in my body was being saved, healed, and invigorated by a surge of divine power. And in his ministry, then he begins to talk about how effectiveness in ministry in the streets. Then he goes to Africa and an encounter with God, began to pray for the sick in crusades. Reinhard Bonnke, I think, was the first person that they estimate preached to 1 million people at one time in one crusade. Just an incredible ministry of effectiveness. So my point in reading those is you look at the ministry, incredible miracles of John G. Lake, Smith Wigglesworth, Reinhard Bonnke, an incredible effectiveness in evangelism, people being drawn, people being saved, and D.L. Moody and Charles Finney, Joel Comiskey, that's a personal, on a personal level, is I became bold at witnessing when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. So my simple point is, in stirring your faith, is that what you have? Is that in some way? And of course, each one of those is describing something different, because we're not cookies. It's not a cookie cutter. You don't have to feel liquid love like Reinhard Bonnke, or else you're not, you're going to hell. That's not the point. All I'm saying is, it's possible that either we could have had a powerful encounter and, life happens and we move away from that, or that we have settled for less than what God actually wants. So, again, my challenge to you is, one, that you begin to look at God's word for yourself. Two, you have some books. I have a list of books on this paper, you'll see. And, excuse me. I'm fighting a sneeze here. And then the third thing is that you personally, that you begin to seek God, that you begin to cry out to God, that is what I need. God, I need to be transformed. There are things in me that got to change. God, and whatever, that might be character, that might be boldness. Some of you, I need to be empowered. Some of you, are any of you here frustrated at inability to get people saved, powerfully converted? And that is what we need. I've just been reading all these books in the Jesus movement. I get it that's a revival, a national revival. But just one of the marks is people got saved, and when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they were on fire. That is what we need. We need people to be saved in our church and be on fire, that everywhere they go, they light people up. So that is the cry of my heart. That's what I'm going to be seeking. And my challenge is for you, that you open your heart. And if that's what God is going to do in you, you lay hold of God. You study God's word. You spend time in prayer. You read books to build your faith. And let's believe God to give us powerful encounters in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you to bow your heads. I do not mean to reduce this, and I'm not trying to reduce this to a one-time prayer. I think you need to. There's things you need to do, but I'm going to pray now. And my prayer is, I'm going to ask that God is going to touch us, and that God is going to stir hunger in our hearts supernaturally, so that when we leave this place, that He is going to draw us to the power of the Holy Spirit, that God's going to open us. I'm going to pray right now. God, I need You. Oh, God. God, first of all, my prayer is that You touch the preacher first. God, if You can touch me, You can touch these men. Oh, God, I long for the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God. I need You. I need a transforming touch from God. I need You to cleanse. I need You to embolden. I need You to grant me fire of the Holy Ghost. God, there must be divine effectiveness. God, I am sick of what I can do. I am sick of what I don't have. I need help. And God, I'm asking You right now, Lord God, that You would touch every man that is here, Lord God. Don't leave us without power. Oh, God, I'm asking that You will touch every one of these young men, Lord God. I need You. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come down in our hearts, Lord God. Fill us. Transform us, Lord God. Let there be a powerful encounter. Let there be a marking point in us, Lord God. I'm asking that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit, God, that when we pray for people for the Holy Spirit, God, let there be a transfer of divine fire, Lord God. Let there be a miracle element, Lord God. Let there be a converting element. God, we've got to have fire. Let the temperature of our church be fire, Lord God. Raise up fire-filled disciples. God, give us on fire converts, Lord God, that would light up families, classrooms, sports teams, workplaces. Oh God, we cannot go on without fire. I'm asking you right now for the fire of the Holy Ghost. From this moment, Lord God, touch us. Draw us to you. God, we're not asking just for a gift. We're asking for the giver. We want you, Holy Spirit. We open ourselves to you. We surrender to you. And I'm asking right now, Lord God, from this moment, let there be a transforming power of the Holy Ghost. And I do thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's praise God in tongues right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to give you this. You look over this. Read and pray over these testimonies, and then I'm urging you, get some of these books. You begin to read them. Let God stir faith in your spirit. Amen. I'm believing God's going to help us do something good.